Praise the Lord. We are back. Praise God. Part two of Divine Faith and going into the dimensions of faith in God. I want you to go with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. I'm going to discover some things here in Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 3. It says, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Faith is given three ways, really, that you can really take note of biblically. Faith is given when you're born. Each man is born with a measure of faith. When you get on a plane or you sit in a seat, even the chair I'm sitting in now, it takes faith to sit in that chair to believe that it's not going to break down on you. Hallelujah. And then there is faith that is imparted. Like when Paul said, "I laid hands on Timothy and I imparted faith," and he received the Holy Ghost and the stirred up gifts in him. And then we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. Not faith come from the Word. Faith come from hearing the Word. Oh, there's a difference. Come on, somebody. So that means I got to get a word. And when I get enough of the word, I get an ear to hear the word. And when I get an ear to hear the word, I get an ear to hear faith. And when I hear faith, I can hear manifestation coming. Because faith is an action word. Faith responds. Okay? So first of all, faith is a measure. Okay? Then I want you to go to Romans chapter 3. Go back to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 20 says thus. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith," come on, say through faith, "to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." God just doesn't justify you, but he makes you the justifier. Oh, God. "That he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." So first of all, we know that faith is given at birth. There's a measure of faith. Then you come into the law of faith, which comes from hearing the word of God. Then next, I want you to go with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, 1 through 5. My God. And you got to understand that faith is a fruit. And really, when we talk about the fruit of faith, it's really talking about faithfulness. But Romans 5, 1 through 5 says this: "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace," thank you, Jesus, "with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also have glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been shed or poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given unto us." Jesus. So understand that faith is a measure or an attitude. Faith is a law. Got to live by the laws of faith that come from the Word. Then faith is a fruit. And then lastly, faith is a gift, the gift of faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about the gift of faith. That's a gift of faith where you have to have faith on the part of another, or faith supernaturally for something. And that's given as the Spirit wills for different dunamis acts through the spirits, different gifts of the Spirit. Praise God. Through a spirit of faith. My God. So you have the spirit of the measure. You have the spirit of the law. You have the spirit of the fruit. And you have the spirit of the gift of faith. which when you get all of those mature in you, it takes you into the dimension of faith. The dimension of faith, let's go there. I want you to go with me to Hebrews. I want you to go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Bible from here on out. But the first faith that you go through, Lord Jesus, is prompted faith. Now, we're not inside of the stages of faith anymore. We're now in the dimension of faith. And the dimension of faith starts here. I want you to go to Hebrews 11, verse 23. It says, prompted by faith. Moses, after his birth, was kept concealed for 3 months by his parents because they saw how calmly the child was, and they were not overawed and terrified by the king's decree. The word prompted is defined as something that is fast, immediate, on time, fast. It's faith that does not procrastinate. It reminds me of the woman with the issue of blood. In Mark 5, she went to Jesus and she had a need, but she didn't touch Jesus. Her faith touched Jesus. So many people were on Jesus and thronged him, and he didn't feel none of that. But when she came by, he felt her faith touch him. My God, from Zion. Your faith has to touch God. Nothing else can touch God. I'm sorry, your tears don't touch him. You singing hurt songs over and over again. I made it through. That's not going to touch God. Your faith, God don't care about none of that stuff. Because if it came down to stuff and your faith, well, I ain't got faith because I ain't got stuff and this ain't happening, that ain't happening. There's a whole lot that's happening in the lives of sinners, but that don't mean they got no faith. That don't mean that God is on their side. When God is on your side, God causes you and gives you faith to believe what you don't have the belief system for. In fact, God does it when you forget to keep believing about it. That's when the faith of God matures in you and you step into prompted faith. This is the prompted faith where no matter what decree comes out against your birth in the spirit, what you're trying to birth forth, you keep on believing God no matter what. It's something that is institutionalized in you, that you keep believing God beyond your natural means. Then you go to verse 24. It says, aroused by faith. So we got prompted faith. Then God takes you to aroused faith. Aroused faith. Moses, when he had grown to maturity and become great, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And the definition of aroused, Lord Jesus. See, when you're prompted, that means that even as a spiritual father, I got to make sure that you're concealed for a certain time. And prompted faith so the enemy don't take you out ahead of time. Jesus. But aroused faith makes you cut off darkness. It awakens you. It provokes you. Oh God, it awakens you from slumber. It's when God sends. See, when you had aroused faith, God sends adversity to wake your spirit up. See, Paul in Corinthians was talking about how he was issued, a thorn was issued to him in his flesh to buffet him, and he prayed to God, God, would you take this away? And God said, no, I've given you grace, and that grace is sufficient enough. Oh, God, it's your thorn is not your sin, your thorn is not your habit, your thorn is when God can trust you to release the enemy on your life and know that you won't crack, crumble, or go under. He knows that you're going to supersede that thing. He knows that you're going to come out because you are righteous. And the I don't know what's going on with the elect. I don't know what's going on with the call. But I know that the chosen and the righteous, oh God, shall see God. I know that God answers the prayers of the, oh God, the firm and effectual prayers of the righteous man. I know that the steps of a righteous man is ordered by the Lord. I know that none but the righteous shall see God. I know that the faith of God, Lord God, that there is a righteousness that is to be revealed, oh God, by faith, but only unto the righteous. Not by the half-stepping, the righteous. Oh God, help me today. By the righteous. God is separate. If you look at the body of Christ right now, God is clearly defining who is the righteous, who is the remnant, and who is the religious, and who is the redundant, who is the repetitive, who is going to continue to cry and who is going to get it together and receive the reward and everything that God has for you. Oh, God, I'm trying to get you to another realm. I'm trying to get you past crying and whining to God, because he's not about to do what you whined about. He's about to do what he spoke. You got to go back to the original plan. And attached to that original plan is that faith in God to do it. Oh, God, I felt an angel being released. Oh, shanadaba, so, rabba, ikando, rabba, ho, shata, that taladaba, son, that God, I impart faith in your people right now. Oh, God. Then we get to motivated faith. It says, God, Lord Jesus. See, when you come to arouse faith, you prefer people talking about you. It says verse 25, because he preferred to share the oppression, suffer the hardships, and bear the shame of the people of God, rather than to have the fleeting enjoyment of a sinful life. He considered the contempt and the abuse and the shame borne for the Christ, the Messiah, who was to come to be greater wealth than all the treasures of Egypt. You got to, and he looked forward and away to the reward recompense. Lord Jesus, you have to consider what God is about to do for you as a greater reward and a greater cost than something that you want. There's a whole lot of stuff that we desire and that we want and that the enemy wants to tempt us to have. But are you going to grab a hold of that, or are you going to grab a hold to the faith that can save nations, that can save your family, that can save somebody on your job? My God, my God, my God. Then we get to motivated faith. Motivated faith causes you to have movement. It says motivated by faith. He left Egypt behind him. It's when you leave everything, you leave everybody. When you're motivated, it causes you to have movement. You go into action. You shift. God shifts you. He takes you from one realm to the next realm. He takes you from one state to the next state. He takes your faith. See, faith has everything to do with the atmosphere that you put it in. See, faith is a substance. And in order to understand faith, you have to stand under something. Substance means that sub means under. And stance means something that is a standard. It's something you stand on. But it's only until you get under the substance that you can understand. Understand. You can't understand anything until you're standing under something. When you stand under God, he releases the power of understanding, and the substance of faith is released in your spirit to believe God when everybody else has cursed God and is dying. Ooh, God. Lord. Motivated by faith, he left Egypt behind him, being unawed and undismayed by the wrath of the king. For he never flinched, but held staunchly to his purpose and endured steadfastly as one who gazed on him who is invisible. This is the faith when you begin to believe stuff when other people say, what are they talking about? What are they believing in? Why are they still praying? Why are they even believing? Why are they still writing that ministry? Why are they still going there? Why are they still allowing themselves to be treated like that? Because you don't know that, oh God, the trying of my faith is unto righteousness, and when I pass this test, Jesus had enough faith in him to be the Son of God. I told the people this the other day. He had enough faith to believe him, to work miracles, to lay hands on the sick, to cast out devils. But it was not until, my God, Jesus went through the suffering and was able to come back, defeated death. See, miracle worker Jesus couldn't get your soul out of hell. Miracle worker Jesus couldn't get you saved. Miracle worker Jesus could just perform miracles. But it wasn't until Jesus stepped out of being miracle worker Jesus and became Jesus the Christ, Jesus the anointed one, Jesus the suffering servant, that he saved you from hell. And then all power was given unto him. It's only after that death process that you get faith in the death walk that God gives you by going through nothingness. Faith is imparted into you. It's automatic. You ain't got to pray, God, increase my faith. See, miracles and signs and wonders was a byproduct of what Jesus was able to do. But his assignment was death. He came to die. He didn't come to work miracles. His nature worked miracles. But his purpose was to get back to the throne with the blood and with you, bought with a price. Holy Ghost. Woo, Jesus. Your faith in God is buying something right now that your dollars can't afford. God got more money than you can count. but it's only going to come through your faith. God got more open doors and more opportunity than you can even trust him for.